officially open.
Spain and Company, countdown to the NFL draft.
That's right. We continue our countdown as seamlessly as ever, just hitting those spots just like I'm supposed to. We are counting down to the draft by having a representative from each team join us and talk about their biggest needs. We're sort of going in reverse order of the success they had last season, therefore where they sit in the draft and potentially how many needs they have. Courtney Cronin, part of Spain and Company, and also our ESPN Vikings reporter, going to talk to us about the Vikings, who are picking at 22nd and 25th in the first round. Courtney, what would you say is the biggest area of concern for this team?
I mean, we could start a lot of different places because they have a lot of holes to fill. Number one has got to be cornerback because, well, they lost all their starters from a year ago due to Xavier Rhodes getting cut, Trey Waynes and Mackenzie Alexander leaving in free agency. So you've got a whole new crop of starters there and then not much else. So 22 or 25, I see a Trayvon Diggs, a Christian Fulton, maybe a CJ Henderson if he fell to that part of the draft. And then at 25, I think you could go a number of different ways. You could either trade back to try to get another second or third round pick, or you could go defensive end, find an edge rusher to replace some of the things that you lose with Everson Griffin not returning for the 2020 season. Possibly go receiver. We know how deep this class is. But offensive tackle is also something to keep an eye on, whether it comes via a fun blockbuster draft night trade because the Trent Williams thing just won't go away anytime soon, or if they decide they want to tap in to the bottom half of that first round and the tackles that could be available at that point. So it's really four big needs and four different ways I could see that going in the first round.
Courtney, I love that you mentioned Trent Williams. I want to lean in on that one. A former teammate of Kirk Cousins, it's an offensive line that did show improvement last year, mainly probably because of how they moved to how they ran that offense, but it put Kirk Cousins in winning position. Do you think there's any chance that Trent Williams becomes a Minnesota Viking?
Well, there's been a lot of buzz recently that kind of died down, and the Vikings were tied into that really since that second week of free agency when you're hearing things from Trent Williams' agent being put out via Adam Schefter and other sources on Twitter that Trent really wants out of Washington and, you know, release me, essentially, is what he, through his representation, was telling the Washington Redskins. And the reason you haven't seen anything, Jordan, right now is just because of the fact that Washington does not want to cut him because he's too good of a player and they want something back in return. So all signs point to draft night. In teams that maybe miss on the tackles that they want in the first round, trying to get in on some Trent Williams action. Now, the Vikings do have a really unique situation here because you'll remember right before the deadline on that Monday before the negotiation window opened, they franchised Anthony Harris, a safety. Now, that could serve as some really good trade leverage and possibly, you know, what you'd need to put into a trade to get Trent Williams. I don't know if it would require a pick. I mean, that remains to be seen. But they could be in position to do that because giving Harris to Washington in a trade, theoretically, would open up $11.41 million against the cap. And that would allow the Vikings then to absorb Williams' $14.5 million cap for the 2020 season and then work out a long-term deal with him. Because really, this team needs to figure out what their 2-3 year plan is at left tackle, because there's going to be a lot of turnover on the left side of the offensive line after this season anyways, because Pat Elflein, he's going into the final year of his rookie deal. He's not been great at that left guard spot. Riley Reiff is going to be going into the final year. He has one more year left, but he's got an absurdly high cap hit as it is, and I could see them parting ways with him either now or even then. So Trent Williams gives you an instant upgrade, somebody who's a 7-time Pro Bowler, and you can get that stability. He's 31 years old. I know he hasn't played a full season in quite some time, but that is a stability, and obviously he and Kirk Cousins played together, and Kirk lauded that offensive line that he was a part of in 2016.
It's Spain and Company. Jordan Cornett joining me, Sarah Spain, as we talk to our ESPN Vikings reporter, Courtney Cronin, ahead of the upcoming draft. Courtney, you mentioned cornerback as a big need, obviously, but wide receiver as well. They weren't super stacked at that position, and then they had to trade disgruntled Stephon Diggs to the Bills. This is a very deep draft for wide receiver. Is this something where they would rather go to a place where they know there's a lot of skill and look elsewhere for some other needs? Do you anticipate them making some moves there?
Yeah, I think that they absolutely have to address this, and maybe not even just with one pick, Sarah, which, you know, there's always this argument. Should you spend a first-round pick on a wide receiver if it's not going to be CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy, one of the guys that you expect to go in the top 12? Because the stuff that Diggs brought to the table, you know, that developed over years and years, and yes, he was a fifth-round pick, but he was a diamond in the rough. I mean, that is, you know, they hit on him, and they were very lucky that they were able to find him where they did. If you go receiver, let's say 22 or 25, you know, you're probably in play for someone like Denzel Mims, T. Higgins, and that's great, but do you really know if they're going to pan out, or would it be better to spend those picks on the positions that we talked about? And then, you know, second or third round, you can get a Tyler Johnson out of Minnesota, who's many people think is going to be the sleeper of this draft class at that position. Donovan Peoples-Jones from Michigan. You know, there's several others. Michael Pittman Jr. I mean, those are all the really good value for a day two pick that they're going to have to spend at some point on a wide receiver. Yeah, they did bring in Tajae Sharpe. He was really the only, the second free agent signing that they had. And that was 2 weeks ago, but he's not going to replace all of what Stephon Diggs does. They really need to find a nice crop of talent to bring in via the draft to then try to find some sort of competition for that number two job, because you lost a big part of your offense with Stephon Diggs. And yeah, it is a Gary Kubiak offense. They're going to rely on running the ball a ton. But Diggs gave them contested catchability that was unlike any other. And he really took a lot of pressure off Adam Thielen, because he's getting doubled on one side of the field. So we're truly, in a way, going to find out how good Adam Thielen is in the 2020 season when he doesn't have Diggs lining up outside of him, which is going to take a lot to replace.
You know, Courtney, as you talk and looking at it now being the seventh season for Mike Zimmer, and they've been consistently successful there, it almost feels like, in a way, this complete overhaul, and I don't want to say rebuild, that would be such a stretch, but they've got a lot of work to do where one would probably expect them to take a big step back this season.
Yeah, it's so interesting, Jordan, because you think about the moves that happened before free agency officially started, and you extend Kirk Cousins. You know, the type of contract that they gave him, which essentially is another fully guaranteed deal, 61 guaranteed at signing. It's not like you're going to cut him after 1 year and have all of that money that you owe him. That's a type of move that signals, hey, we believe we're all in right now. But then about 12 hours later, they trade away Stephon Diggs and they get a haul of picks back. And I honestly think they won that trade because, you know, of where they got another pick in the first round, which is fantastic. If you want to trade, maybe trade up, trade back, get what you want out of that. I think that they ended up the winners of that trade. But the moves that followed after that and kind of the silence that's happened the last few weeks and all the pieces on defense that have departed, it makes you wonder, okay, are they really still in all-in, win-now mode, or is this more of a rebuild? It's a really confusing place to try to figure out where they are because, you know, you can't win without Dalvin Cook in this offense, yet they haven't offered him an extension yet. You'd think that's the next move to happen. But then thinking about how many spots they have to fill via players in the draft, and they have to hit on their picks, that's asking for a lot, especially when we're going to be dealing most likely with a condensed offseason, no OTAs possibly, no mini camp, none of that rookie symposium 6 week period that they get to kind of learn how to do this for real in the NFL. That's, and you're asking those same players to step into starting roles potentially. That seems like a recipe for disaster and a really big uphill battle. And I think that once this draft goes, once we get through it, and once we figure out how those high picks are spent, because those are the guys that you're going to be, at least you'd anticipate, would be starting right away at some really critical positions, I think we'll be able to tell a little bit more of what mode they truly think that they're in at that point, realistically.
We're talking to Courtney Cronin, ESPN Vikings reporter here on Spain and Company on ESPN Radio in our countdown to the draft. Courtney, before we let you go, I'm curious if you talked to any of the front office folks, GM, coach, anyone over there about their specific concerns or trepidations leading into this virtual draft.
Well, a few sources I've spoken with around the league just kind of, they all echo the same thing of, you know, it's so absurd, it's hard not to laugh sometimes at just thinking about, like, all the things that could possibly go wrong with this. And the one thing that keeps getting brought to my attention is the trade aspect on draft night. are we going to see less trades? Because how do you execute them if you have the general manager in one spot, the assistant GM in another spot, the cap guy, et cetera, et cetera? Who's answering the phones? Like, do they have that part delegated? Because usually it's not just the general manager who's picking up every phone saying, you know, hello, Minnesota Vikings, can I take your order? That's, you know, how does that communication factor happen when you're on the clock and you're trying to get everything, your ducks squared away?
Is it probably some sort of conference call line? If you want to reach the Vikings, call this number and everybody is connected to that?
I wonder. I know that they're trying to, you know, the Vikings, you know, they were planning to do it at a hotel. That's where they were going to do it, away from the facility. And obviously when that got nixed, now they're trying to figure out getting people in to install cameras, because I know coach and GM are the only two, I believe, that have to have a camera on them. But like you said in the Sports Center update, there's a lot of concerns about that. And coaches, you know, some coaches and GMs do not want people in their homes doing that for a multitude of reasons,
yeah,
the virus
for sure.
spreading being
yeah.
one of them. But I think the communication factor is going to be continue to be the biggest concern, and how they handle that. Like, you know, I know what John Harbaugh said about it getting hacked, and that's a huge concern. But also, you know, taking that a step further, once rounds 1 through 7 are done, undrafted free agency is a process. And I think that there's been some talks behind the scenes about trying to get a little bit more time to do that, because once round 7 wraps up and the general manager will come down and talk to you as media about what they did, scouts, the assistant GM, everybody in the front office, they're trying to assemble their 10 players that they're about to sign for as an undrafted, you know, class, and that takes a lot of work. So I think that college free agency is going to take a big hit this year.
Yeah.
And that is going to be a concern, that they're hoping the NFL will concede, at least maybe give them 2 days to do that, 3 days, who knows. But it's a process that is very lengthy, and they don't want to have it, they don't want to have to, you know, cut corners with that as
right.
best
and that's
can.
Something we'll talk, I think, more about too, and we need to address how this will affect those lower level players who usually have a chance, a little bit more of a chance to be seen. Hey, thanks for the insight, Courtney. Thank you for coming to us from your childhood bedroom with the Spice Girls poster.
You are more than welcome. I would only do it for you, Sarah.